This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 399. The AI won't suck when it's not A. Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to yet another brand new episode of our weekly podcast.
I have my voice back.
Yay! You're normal.
I don't sound like a dude anymore. Yay!
So there's that. There's also games and stuff going on in the world. So many things going on in the world, but we're going to focus on video games and entertainment because everything else is tragically sad and depressing and a massive downer. So,
Have you not seen some of the games that came out of Gamescom that are also kind of sad and scary and down?
Okay, so just in case you didn't catch it, you weren't paying attention to us on social or, you know, because that happens. We're talking Gamescom stuff today on the show. And there's a lot of dark that's going on and came out of Gamescom.
So many overtones, undertones, intones of
tones,
dark.
There's tones. There are many tones.
50 shades of darker than black.
Yeah. There's that. And that's still a fucked up anime.
Yep.
But anyway, we're not talking anime, we're talking video games. I think that one of the things that resonated with me was that the majority of everything coming out of Gamescom, frankly, is mature. And in all honesty, we've kind of been talking about and this trend that we've seen in video games where things are trending mature. It's not really a surprise.
Nope, I'm not surprised.
You know, when you think about it, it makes complete, total, utter sense.
It's what I would do.
You know, so it's really not all that alarming, but definitely when you look at it in the kind of total overview look of all the games that are coming out, they are very much very mature, very heavy on story, which is a fantastic thing to see. There's some fanciful in there with your Fable Legends and Ori and the Blind Forest. You have those mythical lighter, but even those have a little bit of a emotional and at times dark story behind them that's driving them. So I think it's just one of those things where you're seeing the gaming audience and the people who buy games in majority have gotten older and more mature, and so you're starting to see more and more of the proliferation of, if it's not a sports game, it's a game that is mature, either on an emotional level or, you know, a visual level of some kind, whether that's very stylistic and noir or just overtly violent.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other way to put it.
No.
Okay, Mortal Kombat X is up in the mix. That's a violent game.
No you, shit.
You know, Evolve is a gorgeous game, but it is a violent game. It's you're hunting, or the hunting.
Violence can be pretty, too.
It can. So, you know, there's a lot going on in the game sphere, and I gotta tell ya, you know, a few things I'm kind of jealous went to Gamescom and not E3, but I'm going to guess that they weren't ready for E3, or frankly, you got to save something for Gamescom, and you got to save something for Tokyo Game Show. So, you know, the business person in me gets it, but I'm not going to the two other shows, so, you know, you could have hooked a sister up just a little bit, is all I'm saying. But let's start.
It's okay, because we got the news now.
I mean, because Dead Island 2 was playable at Gamescom. Sadness for me, not so much at E3 for me.
which, I'm sorry.
Tier. That's okay. Because, you know, let's be honest, I wouldn't have made it very long.
It's more my thing than yours.
Based off of my time with Evil Within.
I can't wait to talk about this game that I'm going to be talking about, because if you think that's bad.
I might have been able to go longer in Dead Island just because there's, you know, mostly some poking fun at itself and zombies in that. So I probably would have been able to go a little bit longer in Dead Island too. But, no, it wasn't playable for me, so that didn't happen. But, I'm kind of looking forward, actually, to watching you play Dead Island 2. I did not finish one. I did enjoy watching you play, because you got further than I did. Mm-hmm. I think I got out of the first mission, which you helped me with. And I did two more after that, and I was like, no.
And you really shouldn't be scared, because the great thing about Dead Island is it happened on a deserted island during the day.
Yes.
So a lot of those elements of night things were not necessarily...
Which is why I was able to play it for as long as I was.
But then when you go into the sewers, then things get dark, and then...
Yeah, and that's pretty much where I got lost, was when it was starting to get to, like, the transition town that you went to before you got to the sewers, so you're going through all of the huts and stuff, so it was dark in the huts because they didn't all have light.
Yep.
And you couldn't always see out the doors to light, and then there were things that came at you in the rooms.
Yep.
That's where it started to go.
Oh, well, then you have no, you're not ready for what I'm going to drop on you.
No,
later
dude, I mean, that's my thing. And I've been blatantly honest about this in my whole gamer stuff. I tip my hat to people who love survival horror. I don't. It's just not my shit. But horror isn't my shit to begin with. I don't like horror movies. So, like, the months leading into October and October, the last place you'll find me is a movie theater, because everything's about zombie this and massacre that and...
Chainsaw here, exactly, stabby stabby there.
Lop off your own appendages to save your life, but it doesn't really work because I'm going to spike you in the head anyway. Like, that's not my
thing. That didn't happen in Saw. If they had done it right, everyone could have made it out alive, by the way, in Saw 5. I'm just saying.
Adjust your glasses when you say that. Okay, so anyway... but that's not my shit. I enjoy psychological thrillers, okay? I'm more on the Silence of the Lambs end of the spectrum than I am...
So you want people to eat your brain?
No, I'm on the psychological thriller, you know, not a abundance of gore, no jump scare, just it's in your head, you're manufacturing stuff, and it's all about the emotion, and you know
what's... Oh, then maybe you're going to be into what I'm going to talk about then, because it totally plays on the psychological side of things.
Okay, so that I'm into that. I'm not into the Seven, where it's that plus gore.
Oh, man, I loved Seven.
Bear witness to. I love the story of Seven. There are a couple of scenes where I had to cover my own damn eyes, like I was my parent. Because I was like, nope, I'm not, I can't, nope.
Hey, look in that box.
What's in the box?
Look in the box.
What's in the box?
But anyway.
We all know what's in the box. It's not cool.
Yeah,
it's
we know.
Cool. It's
we
not cool. It's not cool. Don't look in the box. You'll be so much happier in life if you don't look in the box. But I have to say that the things that resonated with me coming out of Gamescom were kind of all over the place. Which is also really cool for me. Obviously, the complete mission gameplay that was shared from the UB team for Assassin's Creed Unity looks fantastic, because I really didn't get to play a full mission. I got to play a piece of a mission, which was a guided tour for the majority of it when I was at E3, which was phenomenal. And I talked about that during our E3 show. Just how seamless Arno seemed to move throughout the city, and with as many NPCs that are on the screen at any given time, and being able to literally go into any building and there's life that's going on, so there's constantly things running in those buildings, was very impressive to see. Seeing a whole mission from beginning to end really made me very excited for the game. And, you know, I am admittedly an Assassin's junkie.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to this, though, because it is kind of one of the things that they've hinted at getting to with the last couple of games, which is where the overlap of Templars and Assassins happens. You know, we know that Connor's dad from Assassin's 3 was an assassin that became a Templar, But I've always wondered, you know, there has to be, since assassins and Templars are both men and women, and Desmond had a thing for Lucy, which we know she was a fucking Templar. At the end of it. You know, there has to have been, in the timeline, some overlap where love attempted to come into the mix between an assassin and Templar, and that's one of the major pushing stories of Unity, is that Arnaud is in love with this Templar who, you know...
Is a dude.
Has her mission.
Oh.
No, not a dude.
Oh.
So it'll be really interesting to see how this all plays out. But the mission is really fantastic. If you haven't had a chance to check it out on the web, definitely seek that out. It looks phenomenal. It just kind of summed up for me, I'm getting the game. We'll be playing the game. Panda will be playing the game with me because it does have co-op story.
Yep.
But you gotta check it out. It looks phenomenal. So that's like the expected one. The unexpected ones, I'll be honest with you, the first one for me was Hellblade. And that one came out of no place for me.
You're the one who told me about it. So
yeah,
I had no idea
that Ninja Theory was working on another game, to be honest with you. I was kind of worried about it. Heavenly Sword, I think, is one of the initial PlayStation 3 games that was very polarizing for people. You either loved it or you hated it. And for me, my initial experience with the game was it looks gorgeous, but some of the gameplay mechanics absolutely sucked with the six axis. And that they forced you at the time to do six axis for some of them until they started releasing controllers that didn't have it, and then you could turn it off and just use the controller regularly, which you should have been able to do from the beginning, made the game playable to completion. Was one of, I think, the most underrated PlayStation 3 games as well. A lot of people tried to cast it as Goddess of War because your lead character was a female named Naruko. She was a tough broad, which I absolutely loved about the character. She moved very quickly and was very brutal, much like Kratos, which I think is part of the reason why I gravitated towards the character, because I love God of War.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the game is steeped in a bunch of mythologies that kind of come together and had amazing voice acting. But at the end of the day, you know, it was a hit with a niche audience, and the gameplay mechanics really did a doozy on it. And so a lot of people slept on the game and didn't follow it up. So I knew that it wasn't going to get a sequel. I knew it deserved getting one, and it just didn't seem like it was in the cards. And then, all of a sudden, the Hellblade trailer drops, and it's done by Ninja Theory, who did the original
Heavenly Sword
game. And instantly, when you see the trailer, if you played Heavenly Sword or you saw any of the trailers for Heavenly Sword, you recognize the art style of the entire universe that this game is set in right off the bat, almost within the first 5 seconds, where you're basically just looking at this one character. And then as it expands out and you see the rest of the environment, it's just gorgeous, which sparked a lot of people as they saw the game to immediately think, holy hell, this is in fact our game. This is Heavenly Sword 2. You know, it's especially because it's called Hellblade, which is the opposite of heaven, and they didn't say sword, they said blade instead, and all this kind of stuff. There's even a couple of people who played captured and played the end of Heavenly Sword and then ran that into Hellblade, and it seems like it definitely is a continuation of the story. I don't know necessarily that it is. There's not a lot of details that are flowing right now about Heavenly Blade. See, I almost did it.
Yep.
Hellblade, as it was just announced at Gamescom, but the Ninja Theory team is going to be doing a real deep dev blog through the entire process of creating the game and when it releases. And I'm looking forward to the story. And I don't always follow dev blogs, but I'm really looking forward to this one. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what this game looks like. And, of course, it is right now possible across all platforms, because one thing with Heavenly Sword is that anything due to the exclusivity deal that Ninja Theory has with Sony for Heavenly Sword, anything that is a Heavenly Sword game must be a PlayStation exclusive, well, this is a completely new IP from Ninja Theory, so it's possible that it'll be on multiple consoles and not just PlayStation 4. So it's one of the ones that I'm going to keep my eyes on because as long as it doesn't have Twing Twang in it, I'm all good.
Okay.
No Twing Twang. Death to Twing Twang.
Okay. You're that certain that you don't
want it? Yes! No Twing Twang. And anybody that had to play that shit with a six-axis controller will tell you it was the worst fucking thing on the planet.
All right. All right. I get it. I understand.
That.
All right.
What do you have? I mean, I have other stuff, but I don't want to monopolize the whole show because I do that sometimes.
All right. So, like I said earlier, you know, scary, horror, survival is kind of my thing.
Oh,
and,
is it?
Yes. And during Gamescom, magically one day, a free game appeared in the PSN.
Was it magic? I like to think it was a dark art.
It was definitely from the occult. And it was for free, and it was only a gig, and Panda's like, you know what? I'm gonna play this. And of course, like, I didn't see it until, like, 5, and we're on the East Coast. So, like, the sun is beginning to kind of set. And, like,
there's... Oh, I think I know what you're talking
about. And there's something slightly eerie about, like, it's this picture, like, the picture that they use for the game is, like, this, like, I want to say it's, like, a cemetery or, like, the, like a stone in a cemetery, like, near the woody part. And, like, PT is written on the stone along with 77080 Studios, which is not a studio name that I recognize. But something's a little off. I'm like, all right. I'm like, I'm in for this. So what does Panda do? In true survival horror fashion, you kill all your lights, you shut off your phone, you just completely surround yourself.
Wait. I'm sorry. So, let's just jump to this. You played the PT game, mm-hmm. the trailer,
mm-hmm.
in the dark, your phone off.
With the phones off the hook, so like no ringing was going to happen.
At dusk. Yeah, no, you're not smart.
No.
You're not smart.
And, of course, my roommate's home, so I'm like, can you do your work in the living room while I play this? And he was like, fine. So, of course, he does that. And, like, when you first start off, and, I mean, I'm really just talking about the trailer before I announce what it was like even in lieu to. You're in a hallway. And the hallway looks like a normal hallway. Halfway down, there's a little cove that has a clock in it, and it says 2359. So it's like 11:59 at night. And then further down, there is another little dresser area that has, like, a phone, some dude's pictures, and, like, some old stuff. So, like, it's old and it's musty. A little further down from that is a door that is shut, so you don't know what room that is. A little further down is another dresser that has, like, a wedding picture and a radio. Across from it is what I assume is the front door, because there's a coat rack next to it. And then there's another door...
Right, I would go for the front door and just call it a day.
You would think. But when you're coming to, you're in a room, and there's this not disembodied voice that's pretty much like, beware of the gap in the door. It's an alternate world, like an alternate universe. And it's all in first person, so you can't see yourself. And I mean, and the graphics I thought were amazing. So the first one run through, you know, they just want you to walk through the area, which you do. And the door closest to the front door finally opens, and you can go down these stairs. Which you do, to another door that when you open it, puts you right back at the front part of the hallway that you start in. So that's when you realize, okay, something is up, and you're possibly in a time loop. Which doesn't seem all that bad, except one, there aren't that many things for you to do. Like, there aren't a lot of mechanics for you. You can look at things, and you can zoom in to look at things, but you can't pick things up, you can't jostle doors unless you're prompted to. But this is when things start getting weird, because all of a sudden, you walk past that first door that's sealed, and it opens.
Okay.
But only a little bit. And you go to it, because, like, it's the first thing you think you can interact with. No. You can't open it, you can't budge it, even though it's open. And you're trying to figure out what the game wants you to do, because they're not giving you any prompts. Like, they want to see what you, as a player, think you should be doing. And at that point, I'm like, all right, I'm like, well, there's just enough for me to look inside, and there's, like, a little light in there, so let me do that. So I zoom in to that little crack, and this entity that, like, literally just moves right in front of the space and, like, slams the door. So you know there's something in the room. And after you do that, that door, the far end of the thing opens, and you can go through the door, and you loop again. And now things are getting darker. You start hearing sounds. like, it's starting to rain, so you're hearing the rain outside. You hear this moaning, and you hear this breath, and you hear this baby crying, and then you hear the radio. And it's like this announcer guy who's talking about the anniversary of this horrific murder that happened in the town you were in. And I'm using air quotes here because they don't really name the town that you're in, but wherever you are, there's like an anniversary of this horrible murder that happened in this house. Essentially, the husband goes nuts, buys a rifle from town, shoots his wife in the stomach, shoots his son, who hears the commotion, and this father, this man's daughter, was smart enough to try to hide in the bathroom. But they all ended up being murdered. And, you know, as you're listening to the radio, all of a sudden, this other voice starts kind of filtering in, and is like, we're just getting started. And you feel that unease, because you don't know, like, you feel like you're most likely hearing, like, something talking to you, your character, even though they're not giving you much to feed on. So you could be, or you can't be. But needless to say, things get shit crazy. And then I started hearing things that reminded me of a game that I love very much. Silent Hill. Which, cutting to the chase, that's what we're talking about, essentially. And
because PT's...
Because PT was a is a playable teaser that led to the trailer for the Silent Hills game that is set to be released in, I hope, 2015. I'd love to see that happen. The interesting thing about Silent Hills is that we're getting it directed by Guillermo del Toro, which if you've ever watched, Pan's Labyrinth, or Don't Be Afraid.
You had me at fuck no when you said Kojima's team is working with Guillermo del Toro to make a Silent Hill game.
Silent Hills, yeah. So if you like Pan's Labyrinth and Don't Be Afraid of the Dark,
this is me.
And you like,
this is me tapping out. Thanks.
And if you like video games and you like Silent Hill, we're gonna be in for a treat. Now the thing is, when this playable teaser went out, like, everyone jumped on it because, like, we've been dying for survival horror games to, like, kick it up a notch. I mean, The Evil Within, which is from Bethesda, which I am so eager to play, is, you know, was that first little tidbit of we're getting back to basics. Well. I feel like The Evil Within is now going to have some serious contenders, especially because of the games that have come out of coming out of Gamescom. But everyone is having different experiences in PT, which is really weird. Because, like I said, they're not giving you a lot of cues, so they're trying to gauge how a player is going to interact in a atmosphere. And the funny thing about Silent Hill is, like, you know, in those games, the atmospheres are what made the game scary. It wasn't the things that you fought, because yes, they were scary, but you could fight them. And in this playable teaser, you could not fight. It's you know, survival in the sense of escape. So it's more of like an escape horror vibe that they gave you in the teaser. And
No, that's survive. That's you live versus you die.
Well, I mean,
that's survival at literally its
base
definition. Live, yeah. No die.
Well, the funny thing is, because, like I said, there's so many different people, like, who are coming from playing PT, and no one's experience has been the same. It's all been different, and everyone's trying to figure out the magic solution to the end, because some people haven't finished the teaser.
And others of us have never started it.
Right.
Nor will we.
So, needless to say, I mean, I have my own theory about that, which is what I want to kind of share before I jump into another game that I'm very eager to look into. And I believe that a lot of the things that are being missed, because, like, there are some, at one point you're looking for pieces of a picture that have been ripped. And, like, they can only be in, like, four places, because you can't go anywhere else in the house. And all that horrific stuff is happening in that one frame of the house. But, like,
apparently, you know, the one you can't escape.
Yeah.
Out the front door.
You can't. No, the door never opens. But there's just so many different subtle things. Like, some people found out that through, you know, just dicking around in the paw screen, which the game is, I love the fact that it seems like the game is, like, put, like, the ghost of this game is a real entity that can affect things that are outside of the game. So, like, areas that, you know, like, when, like, in Resident Evil, if I got too scared, I would just pause and collect myself.
Right.
I don't feel like, if this is an element that they're going to implement in the Silent Hills games, that there is no break for you. like you're all, some people are always going to be in that state of fear and panic, which is definitely something Kojima likes to strive for. Like, he wants you to be scared. He does not want you to complete his game because that means he wins. You know, so like it's a battle of wits between his dev team and the player, which is the biggest challenge I think anyone could ever face. But some people found that they were able to get to the end that unlocks the trailer by simply plugging in headphones. So there are some audio cues that will only be piped through your headphones. So, like, he wants to fully immerse his players into this hellish torment that is this world.
Once again, Ninja Sister would just like to stress that she has tapped out on this. I again say I have tapped out because
So, needless to say, the last thing I'm gonna leave about PT and the trailer for Silent Hill is look behind you. No. I said look behind you. And that's all I'm going to say. All I'm going to say about that.
Not looking. You can't make me.
It is genius. La, 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 it is la, la, simply la. Genius. So moving in that air, I'll talk about one more thing and then I'll pass the mic back to you, Ninja.
Okay.
It's another game that they showed some trailer footage for at Gamescom called The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, which I think it's a PC-only title right now, but I can't imagine that being the case forever. But they don't give you a lot. Like, once again, they're really playing on the air of the things that scare you are the things you don't know. It's not the things that you know. It's the things you don't know. And you see this beautiful landscape of, like, this area. It looks rich in culture. It looks calming. And then you see a man, bloodied and, like, broken, like, crawling through the dirt up this hill path to... And you see this older gentleman who happens to be, like, hovering over him. Which what looked like at first to me a wrench, but I think it was like a crank.
Yep.
And literally he just holds it in his hands and he just starts whamming this guy on the ground into his head until literally he cracks the dude's skull and he walks away. So when they showed some of the gameplay mechanics, they talk about, you know, there are some mysteries that are left, should be left alone, and Ethan Carter stumbled onto the wrong one. And so from what I could gather, he touched something he wasn't supposed to, he angered some spirits, and then people gonna die. And then he disappeared without a trace, and now people might be trying to figure out what happened to him. So, like, it's got that horror, mystery, you know, cave adventure type of element that's all blended into one, which is definitely my cup of tea. Not nearly as gruesome as, you know, the playable teaser, or... You know, that horrible corpse party OVA I watched a couple of weeks ago. Like, it's a step back. I think it's going to be, like, one step back from The Evil Within, because Evil Within is going to be pretty gruesome, too.
Yep, like, not doing it.
So, but those are some things, and I'll share some more later, but I'll pass the mic back to Ninja so that she can speak some more.
All right, so one of the things that's not necessarily a Gamescom thing, but some of them came to light because I was doing my Gamescom research, was a list of games that have been delayed and then delayed.
Beaucoup delayed.
That were mostly all games that were promised to us originally in 2014 that now have new dates. And I just thought, you know, it would be interesting to just talk about a couple of them, just name a few of them, and just all kind of have that collective, oh yeah, the fuck kind of moment. So first one on my list, obviously, Kingdom Hearts 3. Now, to be fair...
What's the delay?
Wait, to be fair, okay... Square Enix never published a ship date to date for KH3.
Okay.
Okay, remember we got teaser trailer?
Yep.
With more info to come in 2014. Oh. Remember at E3 2013? We got the teaser with the music and then okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then we got a full fucking trailer this year. And that was it. It's not going to be on the floor. We're not talking about it. You can talk about 2.5 HD remix. We're not talking about 3 at all. Suck it, Trebek.
Yeah.
And it, you know, continues to not have any kind of real info. Maybe in 2015? Maybe? Possibly?
Probably not.
But, you know, hopefully maybe at Gamescom we'll find out something. Not Gamescom, at Tokyo Game Show, because that's really all we have left now. Hopefully. And it would make sense that Square Enix, if they were going to say a date, they would say the date at TGS.
Yeah.
So,
why not do it on their home turf?
Yeah. So, fingers crossed, it's a 2015 and not a 2016. Because if it's 2016, I'm going to be real pissed.
I'll be sad.
I'll be real pissed. Why'd you even talk about it in 2013 then?
I don't.
Seriously.
Because it was interesting enough to warrant some type of.
No, because your Square Enix and your Final Fantasy games aren't selling, so you desperately need something positive.
Well, when you
positive.
Make four games about a character that a lot of people don't seem to like, not for any real reason, mind you. But yeah.
Really and truly, Panda, I think that it's not so much about the character, it's that they just reinvented the wheel. And there are so many other games out now that give you that JRPG feel between skill trees and open worldness that's just not enough
right.
to carry the game forward. You know, the thing that Final Fantasy could hang its hat on was in previous gen consoles, they had the most stunning, amazing, how did they do that on this console visual in their games?
Not
okay,
anymore.
Because the mechanics didn't change really from game to game.
No, they really didn't.
And now, with the last two gens of consoles, they weren't the gobstoppingly beautiful games on the console. There were plenty of other challengers to that. And so I think the audience just kind of went, hey, this is the exact same gameplay from the game before, and it's not jaw-droppingly different than any other game I could play right now. And I've done this already, so where's the new? And because they were developing these three games at the same time, they couldn't switch to be nimble to bring the new. So they had to bring the same. And it wasn't impressive. There were a lot of new IPs that did similar things that, guess what, were gobstoppingly gorgeous. So I think that that's really where Square Enix kind of made their misstep, was that they didn't innovate.
I agree. I agree.
On the new consoles, and because
my hands are in the air. You got me.
You know, so hopefully KH3 will allow them to do some things. But part of the reason that, you know, we haven't heard a lot of things about it is basically the thought and what's been springing around is that it wasn't Disney enough. You know, because they're working with Disney on the game, and Disney's heavily
involved.
Oh,
you're going to get that massive divide, because some people are like, it's not Square Enix enough.
So
Sora's pants doesn't nearly have enough belts on it.
So we'll see.
Riku is too straight.
We'll see what's we'll see what happens. But I'm not holding out any hope that it's 2015. I have a feeling that'll be 2016.
Okay.
I think it'll be like a December 2015, which you might as well just call it 2016 at that point. So we'll see. Now, that being said, if that then gives them time to incorporate the Frozen princesses in, I'll be okay with it.
Oh, I'm actually kind of done with Frozen.
Well, you might be, but
I'm done.
Think about it this way. If the Frozen princesses are involved in the game, then that means that there's at least a, if not two, special Keyblades because of that.
One's going to be like a Frozen one.
Okay.
Like an ice power for
right.
Ilsa.
Okay. And I don't even know what the other one would be other than, like, just completely adorkable. But then that also means you get to explore those environments. And if they're taking the time to incorporate the Frozen princesses, then that also means that they have to take the time to incorporate Rapunzel.
Oh, Tangled.
And they have to take the time to incorporate Merida.
Oh, I'd love to play out in the...
So if they incorporate those girls from Frozen, then they have to incorporate the other princesses. And frankly, I would much rather go through a Brave
yeah,
World.
Yeah, but I don't know if they'll do that, because, I mean, they still haven't really, like, we just got revealed, you know, the whole reveal of, you know, Kairi being a princess, and, like, her being a key part to the 11.
Yep.
So, like, I don't know how they could incorporate all these additionals, because if they're going to do that, then they have to include Tiana, too, because she's a princess, too.
Correct. And so maybe Kairi opens up a door that finds these other princesses, and it's not just the 11.
Maybe
that's
I don't know
the discovery that she makes. I don't know, but I'd be really stoked to see, because there's a shit ton of new princesses that now need to be accounted for, and
yep.
that may be the reason.
And Princess
why they're taking
Leia,
time. Yes, because Leia is now in fact a Disney
princess.
So I'm okay with there being Star Wars in Kingdom Hearts. I'm totally okay with that.
Hey, if they could have a Tron level, they can easily have a Star Wars level.
I think that Vader would be awesome with a Keyblade. I'm just throwing that out
would
there.
Would it still make the lightsaber sounds?
Zoom, zoom. It would have to. It would have to. It would have to be a lightsaber Keyblade.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
That would be boss.
Okay.
So I'm all for it, if that happens. Battlefield Hardline. So let's talk about this one real quick.
Battlefield Hardline feels like we want to be Grand Theft Auto, but we can't be Grand Theft Auto, so we're going to be the closest thing to Grand Theft Auto we can be.
And that's this.
Which is Cops and Robbers.
Which,
bang, bang, bang.
You know,
bang.
Was supposed to be an October 2014 release.
Mm-hmm.
It's been pushed back to early 2015. I'm making air quotes there.
Early, my black ass.
Because we don't have a big date on that. But
it's 420. Just kidding.
You know, and basic, let's be honest with this one. The reason the game's not coming out in October is because the people who played the beta, had nothing positive to say about the Battlefield beta.
Oh.
For the most part.
That's the positives and the negatives of having a beta.
That's, you know, you learn. But sometimes you learn that what you've done
It sucks.
And it needs to bake more.
It needs to be fixed.
And you should do that if you want to be financially successful.
Don't try to be rock star.
No, dude, here's my thing. I'm all for, and we've talked about this before, games delaying when they come out because shit's not right and you don't want to release something subpar.
Yes.
So I'm all for it. So just say we need to bake it more. Obviously.
It's like, this cake, it's spongy, but it's not fully cooked yet.
You know, like,
it could make you sick if you eat this.
You know, it's just, it's the right thing to do.
Buttercream frosting's still butter, but the cream part hasn't really creamed yet.
Like, Evolve, okay? Evolve was supposed to be an October 2014 release. It's now moved to February 2015, and it's basically because, you know, the team, Turtle Rock said, we need to work on this a little bit more. We want this to be a ridiculous open world experience, and it's good, but we know we can do better. So they're baking in a little more time. That's fine.
I feel like all these games are like our Magikarps in Pokemon, and like they're not ready to be Gyaradoses yet.
Not ready to be a Gyarados. And you know, but there are other people that are like, no, they're just not coming out in October because, as we've stated before, October 2014 is kind of dense with a shit ton of releases.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like I if I was a AAA title, like not one of the big AAAs, but one of the ones that people obviously are for.
Well, yeah, remember, Evolve is a new IP, so dropping into an October that's going to be
filled with established IPs, I'd be scared to do that.
Well, I mean, even non-established IPs, like Sunset Overdrive, it's not an established IP, but it's from an established company, so it feels like that. But you've got Assassins dropping, you've got the Master Chief Collection of Halo dropping. Like, there's a shit ton of things popping off in October that, as an IP, yeah, you don't want to be in the middle of.
No.
So it makes sense to, like, get out from underneath holiday.
Yeah.
And then go. So I think it's smart on both ends. You polish the game more, and you get away from a completely satiated holiday. So that one I'm not as like, what the fuck about. But hey, let's talk about one that I am like, what the fuck. The Order. Which, when I was at the Sony media briefing when they announced The Order,
mm-hmm.
that's when I put my initial pre-order in.
Oh man.
For
I am all about that game.
PlayStation. Yeah. So it was supposed to come out in late 2014, as we all remember.
And now?
February 2015.
Okay.
So, it was supposed to be holiday 2014. Now it's moved also to February, just like Evolve. I think they're actually, like a week apart.
Okay.
For the release dates, because I think that Evolve's early in February, and The Order's, like, later in February.
I don't, you know, as much as I'd like to say that whole what the fuck moment on that, I don't mind that so much. Because, I mean, like, I finally saw the trailer where they really kind of explain The Order and, you know, Nikola and Tesla's involvement and stuff. And, like, I was salivating during the trailer. I was like, mm-hmm. I don't care when. Like, because no matter what, that is becoming part of my library. There is nothing that's going to stop me from that. So, I mean, I don't mind if that's further out because that's just going to give me some more alone time with the order. Like, I won't be like, I have to play 2 hours of this because now I have to play this game because I bought, like, 8 games all at once, which is not something I would ever actually do. But in my mind, it's something that the Panda in my mind would do. And I don't want to feel cluttered down. You know, I mean, this is going to be a season that's really going to push those limits and those boundaries of gamers because there's just so much coming out.
Yeah, so another one that's, you know, on the list is The Witcher.
I haven't played any of The Witcher games, so I'm not feeling it.
I'm not a huge...
And I like witches and magic and stuff, so you think it'll be right up my alley.
No, it will be. And the fact is that Panda, like, if you actually sat and watched the gameplay of The Witcher, you'd be like, I don't understand why I haven't played this before. Oh, wait, because it was mostly on PC and I don't have a PC to game on.
Probably.
That's the biggest thing, because it's completely, like, right up. It's Skyrim, but, like, Super Skyrim.
Super Skyrim?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's, like, completely up your alley.
Are there dragons?
There are... Yes.
They'd be dragons?
Yes. They're big fucking creatures that breathe fire that
you... That have wings and go rawr, but kind of like a dinosaur, but not a dinosaur?
Right. Yep.
And have scales?
Mm-hmm. You hunt them. And dragons.
Dragons.
Yep.
Do you know what I think it's weird? I think dragons are a different form of dinosaur. Is that weird?
No, it's not. That's...
Okay. Like the evolution of dinosaurs?
No, that's accurate.
Okay.
Actually.
Okay.
So
it was a weird thought I had a couple days ago.
Oh, I'm glad that you joined the rest of the science thinking community.
I'm like, you know.
So, Witcher 3 Wild Hunt originally was supposed to be released in 2014. It, too, has made the jump to February of 2015. And I love the CD Projekt Red team. If it's to make the open world better... Cool.
I'm
if
all it, about better open
but I
worlds.
Feel like a couple of these games, like, they really should have been ready at this point, and that they're moving, to me, kind of signals either they overpromised on what they could do when they did their trailers, and it's taking them much longer to try and get close to what they initially said that they were going to do with the game.
Or maybe they fear competition from other games that are releasing
or
the same.
Or they're fearing the holiday fucking lineup and don't want to be a part of it. So it's easier to say, hey, look, you know, the Irrational Games team didn't get shit on when they were like, we need more time to bake our game and make it awesome. And the community was like, yeah, do that. And then their game came out and it was completely fucking awesome. And everyone was like, we don't even care that you had delayed it. It's awesome. So now it's like, hey.
It's the best game ever.
Holiday is satiated, so let's not come out in holiday like we originally planned.
Could you imagine being like, hey guys, we have this great game, but we don't want to put it out until after Christmas.
Because unfortunately, if we do it before Christmas, we're going to have to deal with Destiny, Disney Infinity, Dark Souls 2, Hyrule Warriors, Forza Horizon 2, Super Smash Brothers, Alien Isolation, Drive Club, the NBA games, the NFL games,
fuck Project those
Spark,
games.
Borderlands,
the pre-sequel.
The Evil Within, Fantasia, Shadowgate, Civ, Assassins, Sunset Overdrive, the WWE games, the Call of Duty game, the Crew, the Halo Master Chief Collection, the Dragon Age Inquisition.
Ninja,
Far
I think
Cry
I think
4.
We get it.
Like, did you get it?
So, I get it.
So they went, you know what? We need more time to bake our game.
We're going to refocus our time management a little bit.
And we'll be ready in February.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Yeah, so that's basically like and which is why I'm like, I'm throwing a fucking flag on the play on this. Because I call shenanigans. Okay.
You just said sport words that I'm like, what? a card?
Sorry,
is it a green card? Are you allowed
no,
in my country
it's
now?
We're in America. It's American football season. It's not footy ball season.
Go!
It's football season, which is why...
I hit a home run!
No. Bad Panda. Wrong sport. Wrong sport.
Turkey!
But no, seriously, fucking flag on the play. I call shenanigans. I think that some of these games would be fine to go in holiday, and they don't want to compete with half of that fucking list that I just mentioned.
I wouldn't want to compete with them either.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Would you really?
Nope.
Between Sunset Over...
Sunset Overdrive?
Yeah.
Or Sunset Over Here's My Wallet?
And between that and the Halo Master Chief Collection, do you really want to be vying for people that would play an action platformer or a FPS?
Nope.
Because I don't think companies would.
Do not want. Hard pass. Hard pass.
So I'm calling, like, serious shenanigans on all of that shit because I think that, Battlefield I get because I have talked to people who played the demo because I'm not a Battlefield person.
Yes.
And they're, like, they keep playing the demo because, hey, it's something new and the Destiny demo is gone. So I can't play that until September is basically the feedback that I got. But they're like, no, it needs to bake more. I want the order to be good, so I want to believe that they're just taking more time to bake it. But I have a feeling, and it's, you know, a short feeling, but a feeling nonetheless, that's bullshit, and it's ready to go. And it just doesn't want to compete in this holiday. And I saw The Witcher. I've talked to people that played The Witcher at E3. They said that it ran flawlessly, so I don't know if what would need to be polished because of that, but...
Well, I mean, Nikola Tesla was OCD, right? So, like, he has to make sure he's perfectly ready, and he's not ready.
Yeah, that doesn't explain The Witcher. Tesla's not in The Witcher at all.
I thought you were still talking about The Order.
No. No.
Oh, well, then I don't know what The Witcher's problem is, then.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, February, evidently, in 2015, is going to become the new holiday. I'm guessing, just from the lineup.
It's your birthday month!
Well, yeah, there is that. So at least now you know what you're getting me for my birthday.
Gift cards.
Gift cards to Amazon and GameStop.
Yep.
Bling.
It's like, here, you figure it out.
All right.
Have fun.
So that.
All right. So I've got one other game that I'm actually kind of really interested in talking at length about. Another trailer that came out for Gamescom. Now, we've heard about this game before, Until Dawn. And
right.
The initial.
No, it's been a while since,
We've heard about it. And, like, the first glimpses of it that we got made people think of, like, Mirror's Edge meets, you know, a survival horror game. Like, I'd say, not necessarily Outlast, but something along the lines of that.
Okay.
So, but now, because they're showing what they've done with Until Dawn now, and it looks even scarier than it did back then. And we're getting a very dark,
so
harsh.
So did they go to ground and redo?
It seems like they took the principle, like the core game of like eight friends stranded on a mountain, having to figure out what the fuck they're gonna do.
Right.
So they kept that, but it seems like they are taking cues from Quantic Dream and making it very like Heavy Rain ish.
Ooh.
So like you've got these eight characters that, as they mentioned in this one interview thing I saw, that all eight of those characters, nobody is safe. Everybody can, very much like Heavy Rain, everyone can die.
Okay.
But they're taking a finite comb to this version of Until Dawn because every single thing, not necessarily every single thing, but the way that they denote that something that you've done has impacted the course of your story is because they're really relying on the butterfly effect.
Okay.
So, say you're...
Which is one of the things that I both enjoyed
and don't
despise about Heavy Rain.
Yeah. But in this game, like...
I really wanted Morgan to bone... What's his face?
Mine did. Oh, Madison? Madison fucked my dude.
Madison died in my
game.
She's the only one that died, though.
He fucked her and then was like, I have a life. And she was like, what? But anyway, that's a totally different game.
Yeah, that didn't happen in my
game. But in this game, you can things that you can manipulate, if you happen to manipulate something that could change the course of your thing, a little butterfly will show up on your screen to show you that you've done something that could change everything.
Okay.
And, you know, you don't have to find everything in a certain area, but say you find one thing and then you have a moral choice here and then another thing. Those things, all of them, will shift your tree. So there are very unique endings. There's a lot of endings they were stressing. Like, they say thousands. I don't believe that.
Well, it depends on how many of your decisions can impact your game. You know, once you have anywhere in the neighborhood of, I think, probably at minimum like 9 different choices that affect your outcome, then yes, you would have thousands of combinations out of that.
So, I mean, and with 8 different characters all at different times doing different things,
then it drops that number even lower.
So, I mean, like, it sounds absolutely amazing. And I mean, and I love the fact that, one, you know, these are people who are, like, stranded in a mountain, so it's not like... It's not like Slender where you're like in the woods and there's a supernatural element out to get you. Like, this is all human based stuff. So, like, we're probably going to encounter, you know, robbers or bandits or, you know, some scary David cannibal eating clan in the mountains or something.
Oh my.
Which would be absolutely horrible. And I mean,
Fuck David. Okay, forever and always.
Ever and ever.
Fuck David.
But I like this direction because we already know that, one, I'm very narrative driven. I will overlook shitty, jaunty mechanics if the story is good enough to waft that, like, sweet pie smell through my brain. And some games have done this to me already. So, like, I already worry that this game could totally wag the dog at me. And me not really be paying attention to the tail of it all, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep, I catch it. I'm following.
But I enjoy this type of game, so, like, I was like, yes, yes, more of this, please. More, 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 more. And, I mean, from what I saw, like, visually, it does look absolutely beautiful. I mean, some of the girls, because there are some girls in this mix, because, you know, dudes just don't go up to the woods by themselves, apparently. They always have to bring some tits and ass, and I don't blame them. But some of the girls, one of the girls has a really, really, really thin waist, and I don't know if it seems realistic to me. I mean, I know there are skinny girls out there, and they're everywhere, but, like, this is, like, dramatically thin.
She'll probably die, so don't worry about it.
Well, I mean, if you do it the right way, she won't. I mean, I feel like for the whole ending that everyone can die, that means everyone can survive, too. Like, you can't have one absolute without the other absolute.
Correct.
It's not balanced.
There is a perfect play.
There is a perfect play, and then there's a perfect wrong end for everyone.
Yep, you have fun with that.
And you do realize that I'm absolutely going to do that.
Yep, you have
fun. I did
fun
it for
that.
Heavy Rain, so I will most definitely do it for Until Dawn.
Because you're a glutton for punishment, because once you play through that game one time, you really don't need to do it anymore.
That's not true. There's so many different things.
No.
Like, I might be able to pick up this rock and end up smashing my best friend's face in with it.
Nope.
And then screw her boyfriend.
I don't need to know those things. Doo-da.
So, yeah. Since we have a little bit more time, there's one other thing I'll bring up that came out of Gamescom. We have heard about Dying Light, and we already had the idea that Dying Light was really going to be like a survival zombie-ish game.
Yeah.
You know, apocalyptic, you know, no super high-tech fighting stuff. It's really ingenuity, out in the woods, survival. Like, Laura from Tomb Raider.
Lots of survival going on right now on the new consoles.
I feel like a lot of the developers are like, I'm fighting for my job here.
Well, I don't even
like,
know
I feel like their worries are coming out through games.
I feel like the consoles finally give them the hardware and the polys to really be able to
now do a lot
scare
of this
you.
Stuff.
You know, I mean, up until... really the last batch of games that came out on the 360 and the PlayStation 3, they didn't really push the whole realistic look thing going on. So, you know, it wasn't easy to suspend your disbelief long enough to be scared with some of the games that came out on those consoles.
Oh, the pacing has completely changed moving into these games. A lot of these games are now making you wait
But when you got into the last batch of games around, you know, things like Beyond, Two Souls, where it was photorealistic. And so...
Oh, man, so real.
The atmosphere that was created and the dialogue that was going on and the actors that were portraying them really... were able to create a suspenseful environment so that you as the player were, you know, anxious about things that were going on, and
yeah,
and you would miss cues because you were so anxious.
Oh man,
you
know, that fucking condenser.
Yeah, you know, it physically
scared the fuck out of me.
It physically affected you, and I feel like now that we are in this gen of consoles, that developers are able to really pull that off. I think that's why you're seeing this influx of, you know, suspense and thriller and horror and survival now, because
I mean, I think they can fully just, you know, describe or make you feel what they want you to feel.
Well,
like, they have that perception,
you know,
now.
Like, P.T.
Oh, man.
Has scared a lot of fucking people.
Yes.
And we're talking grown-ass adults here. Mm,
I freaked out.
You know, that
I was clutching a pillow like a bitch.
The jump scares got them, but
and I'm a real woman, I can admit that.
But it's beyond the jump scare.
Yes.
You know,
and there was one in that, too, but I'm like, yeah, that was, I knew they were setting me up for that, but then everything else just.
But I think that that's really kind of the mark of, you know, excellence, is when you go beyond the jump scare and can scare and
you can scare without having to give someone something to be scared of. They make you scared,
you know,
of everything.
It's not just the thing with the chainsaw and hair comes and it lopped off your head, but, you know, there's something because you have headphones on that's whispering at you. And it's not that it's whispering at you. It's in your ear. So it's whispering in your ear.
It's echoing into your brain.
I think that that's kind of that
genius.
Next level scare and involvement and immersion, and I think that that's something that
you can do
with these
consoles. I feel like if PT / Silent Hills, like, incorporated, like, the Kinect, being able to read your face.
Yep, nope.
Mm-mm. Like, that would just take horror to a whole new place.
Yeah, no.
But getting back to Dying Light, the thing that I wanted to bring up, and I should have brought it up earlier because we were talking about Evolve, they are now implementing in Dying Light this element of
four on one?
Multiple on one. So you could be playing it with, you know, a friend or whatever, and then somehow be notified that there's, like, this hyper zombie that is very powerful, and you can't really take it out. Like, it's too powerful for you, but it's stalking you, and a friend of yours manipulates, like, another player manipulates this hyper zombie. And, like, the whole point of it is to not necessarily defeat it, but to get away from it and to keep it away from you, because you don't want to necessarily enter into a battle that you were on the losing side of.
Yeah, no.
And I love that they're doing that.
Well, you know, I think that's one of the things also that this gen of consoles, like, brings to light, because the idea of multi-on-one is in multiple places now, not just Dying Light, but another game that was announced, and this one also was not on my radar at all, was Shadow Realms from BioWare.
Yes.
So this is BioWare's first non-Mass Effect game in a long time. And Shadow Realms is a four-on-one game as well. With multiple classes for you to pick from, versus, in essence, what the class that they're calling the Shadow Lord. But it's kind of interesting to me to see that multiplayer now is kind of evolving, and it's not just, okay, you and an internet friend against the NPCs, but now it's we're going to actually extend online play to really be just like couch play was. And so we've got you versus your friend.
Right.
That's where your competitive is. So here it is in your frickin' face, you versus your friend. And by you versus your friend, I mean you and three others of your friend versus a friend. Since you guys keep talking shit about our AI sucking,
well, now we're gonna let you fight against somebody who might actually be better.
See how
than
that
you.
Works out for you.
Fuck that.
Enjoy. Here you go.
Here.
So, Shadow Realms, like, the classes go from, you know, stuff that you're used to seeing, like warrior and wizards and rangers, but they also include an assassin, a cleric, and a warlock, which are basically more or less offensive than some of the other base characteristics that we know. I think that it'll be interesting to watch over the next year just how many people gravitate to this you against your friend, but with a cooperative element as part of their games in development. Because I think that you'll see more of that with broadband connections not being an issue anymore. Now it's just an issue of throwing enough servers at it. I think that, you know, we've proven with games like MAG and, you know, with even things like the Destiny beta that you can have a gorgeous, real, heavy graphic game with a lot of dialogue easily be pulled off with multiple co-op versus. It'll be interesting to see how much of that gets employed into games. You know, Assassin's Creed now has, in essence, three on one. It's just on the AI as opposed to another player. But it's not out of the realm of possibility to think that that isn't a mechanic that can easily be brought into Assassin's and other games like that. You know, like, I would love to have that implemented well in some other games that I'm playing. You know, can you imagine a Mass Effect that was 4-on-1?
Nope.
Where you got your friends together and it was you against a Reaper and you had a friend that was controlling the fucking Reaper? Like, how boss would that be? It would be pretty boss. Don't lie. That would be boss.
Yeah.
It would be boss.
You're right.
So, you know, a lot of stuff out of Gamescom, a big chunk of it, super, super positive. There are people that had a great time going hands-on, if you will, with Dance Central Spotlight. So the Kinect got a little bit of love.
Good.
Even though it didn't make it into Microsoft's conference media briefing that they did at Gamescom. Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise. Pretty much everyone's running away from the camera, because I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, like, Dying Light was supposed to take advantage of the Move controller.
Initially, yeah.
And they ripped most of that out now, and it's not.
Yeah.
So I think one thing that this gen of consoles has done pretty quickly is put the kibosh on motion. Like, unless it has anything to do with Oculus, it's just not a go-to thing.
Agreed.
Which, frankly,
I think it's smart.
It's a smart move.
Perfect sense to me.
I wish that I was at Gamescom. Because,
well, it's over now, so you don't want to be there now.
There was some indie love for...
Good. Indies should be represented.
More so on the PlayStation than Xbox, but I think that you'll probably see Microsoft do their own little thing out of one of their Microsoft stores to talk about ID at Xbox themselves, which is independent development, down the road. Because, you know, with things like Ori's not the end of independent development
right.
for them. So... you'll see more of that. One thing I do want to talk about real quick, though, is PlayStation Share.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, so it was one thing that a lot of people tried to tout and say that PlayStation won Gamescom, because, you know, we always do the competitive, who won the media briefings? Who won the show out of the big three? And you'll notice that we didn't talk about anything from Nintendo. Surprise!
Really?
Yeah. But anyway. Hey, what are you going to do? They're $500 billion in the hole right now.
They had their direct. They're fine.
So anyway, but PlayStation Share was basically, remember when everybody was pissing on Microsoft for how they were going to do digital sharing and you taking your stuff over to a friend?
Yes.
Having to be logged in. And,
yes.
Everybody was like, fuck all that noise. So they ripped it all out.
Yes,
and
I remember.
Took all the balls, basically, out
so,
of...
So they deciding to bring it back and have replayed it
here?
No, did
I say Microsoft or was I talking about Sony? Pay attention.
Okay.
Attentive listening. But I remember all that bullshit, right? And then Sony killed it at their press conference because they had... the CEO go to, I forget, it wasn't Jack Trenton, but here's how you share a game on a PlayStation. And you just handed your game over to your friend, and the guy went, oh, thank you. And then you went and you played it, remember?
They yes, I remember that.
Okay. So, PlayStation, all this time, evidently, has been working on, well, let's see if we can actually go back and do what Microsoft wanted to do, though. So that way you could do it both ways. Here's my game, go ahead and play it, but also you could stream share. That's what PlayStation Share is.
Ooh,
so it will
streaming.
Allow you to share a game with a friend magically, whether they own the game or not.
So I get the order, and something happens where you can't get order, but you kind of want to play it before you can get yours. I could stream it to you so that you could play it.
Yeah.
Even though you don't own it?
Yeah.
And haven't installed any of it on your PS4?
Yeah, kind of.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Because basically we'd have to do some install. But it would allow you to share your game with your friend. And everyone's like, oh my god, they just won it. It's drop the mic. It's crazy.
I'm not dropping the mic for that.
Yeah, so don't get me wrong. It could be a great fucking thing. Okay, because it basically then gives everybody try before you buy, because you could do that. Be like, hey, man, I just got this game. It's pretty awesome. You should play it. I don't have it. Well, here, you can play mine. And boom,
right
across the interwebs, you're now able to do that.
Okay.
The limitation, however, which is one thing
is that you have to rub ketchup all over your disc.
It has nothing to do with ketchup.
You have to sacrifice four virgins.
No virgins are sacrificed.
You had to fuck a sheep.
No sheeps are harmed. In the playing a PlayStation chair.
You have to say, I am Groot six times in your bathroom with no lights on in front of a mirror while drinking a yearling.
Wait, does that make a little dancing baby Groot show up?
A demon one.
Oh,
no. Demon Groot.
No, the limitation, though, and this is one thing that they didn't mention in the conference, but afterwards, of course, when everyone gets the details, is that it's a 60-minute session, and that's it. On your share.
So you only get an hour.
Yes. So you can share your game with your friend over the internet for an hour.
So wait. So now let me rewind. So I virtually share the order with you.
I can play for 60 minutes.
You
can
play for 60 minutes, which means you would probably just get through the tutorial.
No, it shouldn't take me 60 minutes to get through the tutorial.
Well, some decent tutorials run you 30 minutes to 45, so then you get 15 minutes of non-tutorial gameplay.
That'd be one fucked up tutorial. Most tutorials only take 10 minutes.
No.
If you
look at the average now is longer. You have longer bits of tutorial time where they're instructing you on how to do things in your games. It has gone up. I'd say it's probably about 25 to 30 minutes.
Are you talking about hints throughout, or are you actually talking about a tutorial level? Because
That opening level, and that opening level has exposition and all that. Sometimes it will equal out to under 30 minutes, maybe 25, 27 if you're lucky.
I'm thinking the longest one that I've done recently was probably Tomb Raider. And that one was only like...
You were still in the highs. You were probably like 19, 20 minutes. Easy. That game had a lot of detailed stuff, but I don't want to go into that now.
So anyway,
it doesn't really matter.
So, yeah. So you get 60 minutes of share at a time at a game. And I don't know if it's like 60 minutes and then that's it. You can never share it again or not. Like
maybe there's like a time gate where like you can only...
You can share it for an hour and then you can't share it again for like another 2 hours.
Like a week.
A week would be long. Fuck that.
4 days.
You know, but like a day.
I could see 72 like, hours.
You can stream it for, you know, 60 minutes to your friend, and then you have to wait a day before
you have to
do
the hokey pokey before you can do it again.
Because the impetus that I'm hoping, more than likely, is what Sony's hoping as well, is that I'll share my game, you'll get hooked on it,
and then you'll go out and buy it.
And you'll buy it because you can't play it again for a long period of time and we're hooked. So basically, that they're, you know, a drug dealer, first hit's free. And then you'll come back for more.
Here's my sample, Beyond.
So, there's that. It'll be interesting to see how it works out. Because if it's done well, I think, one, it'll be better than fucking PlayStation Now. And two, it'll kind of kill PlayStation Now. Because then you just need a good friend to have a decent library. And you guys can just back and forth off of each other. Replayer instead of paying $3 for a demo that you can play for a couple hours.
Mm.
So, there's that. But it'll be interesting. I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on all the stuff that came out of Gamescom and, you know, including PlayStation Share, especially if you have a PlayStation, whether or not that's an interesting feature to you or not. So you can hit us up on social media. We're available. You can check out all the articles that we write within the week on our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. Pick up our podcast episodes at www.electricsisterhood.com. You can also get them in the iTunes application, either on your desktop computer or on your iOS device through the podcast app by searching for Eshcast and subscribing. We're also in the Microsoft Store. We're also on Stitcher Radio. Pretty much we're on the interwebs. Look for the Eshcast and you will find trust and believe. You can hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Land of Ash. You can hit us up on Twitter, @ESH News, and share your thoughts, your questions, your concerns, stuff that you want us to check out and share our opinions on in future podcasts. Do so. We'll give you a shout out. It'll be all awesome stuff. But we love talking games with you guys, so interact with us. Hit us up. It's all good. We also have our 400th episode coming up next week.
Oh my God!
So, if you have just a note of congratulations or something that you want to say to us, you can call in to our toll-free number, leave us a message, 1-888-333-8985, and leave us a voicemail.
Please do it!
We'll edit a bunch of them into the podcast.
So you can, I'll love you forever.
You can be podcast internet famous with us next week. You can also, if you prefer, send us your audio in MP3 form by hitting us up at mailbag@landofesh.com or mailbag@electricsisterhood.com. Both will get to us. So just remember mailbag@somethingeshy. And it'll more than likely get to us.
Mailbag@eshupyourbutt.com.
Wait, no, I don't have eshupyourbutt.com. And I'm not buying that.
Fresh esh for your butt.
No.
.org.
Let's just stick with mailbag.
/net.
Let's just stick with mailbag@electricsisterhood.com, okay? If you're going to send us an MP3, make sure that you get them to us before Friday. We'll edit them all into the podcast. We're hopefully lining up some fun
And don't
guests.
Worry, I'll constantly remind you during the week.
Yes, across our facial.
Across our facials.
Across our socials.
Our facials, socials.
Because I was thinking Facebook and socials.
It's face,
and
social,
it came,
facials.
It came out face, socials.
Yes. Face, facials.
So, yeah, that's why you shouldn't drink when you do podcasts. Or you should. I don't know. Pick them up. Doesn't matter. Make sure that you get those messages into us. We'll edit them into the podcast. We want to hear from you. We're very excited to be celebrating our 400th episode.
Man, 400 fucking episodes, man.
Seriously, dog. It's been an absolute joy. So join us in the celebration on next week's show. Hopefully we'll have some really cool guests lined up for you, and it'll be excites all the way around. So at this point, I turn to my sister and I say, "Hey, yo, sis.
Hey.
What shit you digging this week?
Games. Com. What shit are you digging this week?
Well, I can't really say games because you said games, although I am saying games, so I'm going to say Guacamelee because I've been playing it.
Do you love it?
Yes.
It is so much fun.
I just need somebody to couch play with me as Tostada now at this point.
Oh.
Because I need Tostada backup. Who doesn't need Tostada backup? As always, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we are out.
Toodles!